Are you doing well? Oh, man. We're from Northeastern Ohio. We can do anything. Have you had an opportunity to say hello to somebody and smile? Oh, you did? Okay. All right. Well, we won't make you do it again. I really want to piggyback on what Mary said about the conference. My wife doesn't endorse, I don't think she's endorsed over the years of ministry enough from one handful of people, but she definitely endorses Cheryl Salem Pruitt. And so you don't want to miss that opportunity. You'll be astounded at what God can do to a Miss America. She's a former Miss America, you know. And God just changed her life completely. And He'll change yours too if you come and be a part. Looking forward to seeing you then. Again, sorry about the smell. I hope it's not making anybody feel lightheaded, or that's just the anointing. But praise God, we got some steps again. We had steps and then we didn't have steps. Then we got steps again. So we're glad about that, and the floor being painted. And so we're moving along. We finally got the hole back there fixed up. And I'd say probably another week or two, we should be all done with this construction stuff. But it sure is a lot of work, isn't it? Yeah, thank you all the gentlemen and ladies that have come out and helped us. We still have wallpaper to hang. If anybody out there is an expert, all these little murals on this wall have to be put up on that wall. And so if you can, that'd be great if you know how to do that. We got the murals. We even have paste. All we need is you. It'd be awesome. So if you can do that, let my son know, Louie or Mary or one of us. We'd appreciate that very much. How many brought a Bible with you? Amen. All right, let's get it out this morning. Praise God. And while you're getting your Bible out, let me tell you a little story about Richard. Little Richard's only 4 years old, and he opened this big Bible that had been in the family for, geez, for years. And he was so fascinated by it, he was flicking through the pages. And as he was flicking through the pages, something fell out of the Bible. And he picked up the object and looked at it, and here it was, a leaf that had been compressed in the pages of the Bible. Must have been there for years. He goes, Mom, look what I found in the Bible. She said, Son, what is that? She goes, I'm not sure, but I think it might be Adam's underwear. Isn't that cute? I seen a guy back there go, what's he talking about? Anyway, let's get to the Word this morning in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And I want you just to hear the Word of the Lord. It says, every God-begotten person. You got to say, that's me. All right? Say, that's me. You're a God-begotten person. And every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. Understand that. Not some of God's begotten people. But every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Now watch. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Now let me read it in the Amplified Bible. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Once you were born again, you became superior to the world that you and I live in. Now, that's hard for some of us to imagine, but I want you to get this in your thinking, that when you became born again, you became superior to the ways of this world. And what I'm talking about is the mode of operation of this world, the philosophies, the education, its government, its politics, its commerce. You and I become superior. And we also are introduced into a very positive realm where Jesus reigns in every dimension. And also, listen to this. Angels await your bidding. to establish His kingdom. Now, that's a pretty exciting future when you begin to think about it. You're not just another member on a roll in some church membership. You know, I tried to tell someone the other day, they were explaining to me God was calling them to another church. And I said, look, don't get stuck in church membership. Understand about apostolic partnership. Because if you're here or you're over there, let's get connected apostolically. And let's believe that God's raising us up regionally. It's not about your church or my church. I'm not trying to outdo you, or you're not trying to outdo me. What we're trying to do is raise up a witness in a region that is literally going to transform the way life is lived in this place. So we read in 1 John chapter 5 and 19 out of the New American Standard Version Bible. It says this: we know that whatever is born of God. No, I'm sorry. 1 John 5:19. There it is. We know that we are of God. Matter of fact, let's read it together. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Did you understand that? We're of God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. When I began to think about that, I thought, if I'm not careful, I might slip under that same power. I need to realize that there is a greater authority in me that has raised me to a different level, that's made me superior, that brings this world order to submission by my faith. And that's exactly what we just read. You and I understand today that there is implications of that. You and I have been called to be barrier breakers. Barrier breakers. See, the average Christian today believes that if it's not the right time, it can't happen. That some of us feel like maybe we were born too early or too late. Or we were born in the wrong locality. Or for some reason we didn't have the right education. Or whatever barrier may come into our mentality. But think about the Syrophoenician woman with me. She came to Jesus expecting healing for her daughter. And what did Jesus say? He said, woman, it's not my time. It's not time for you to receive this miraculous power. It is for the children of Israel. But she was a barrier breaker. And she spoke back to the Lord and said, I know time has nothing to do with your kingdom. Yes, she did. She said, I know time has nothing to do with your kingdom. As a matter of fact, even the little dogs can lick up the crumbs off the floor. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith. He said, go your way, your daughter's made whole. She was a barrier breaker. Sometimes we think we have the wrong relationships. We think that if I only knew the right person. I know it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know how the world tries to teach you that. And we kind of fall under that that captive thought of that we got to make the right connection. We need to smooze up the right people. We have to somehow wine and dine the people so we can get favor from them. Look, those relationships, barriers can be broken. How? Because you walk and operate in a superior level. Remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. First of all, she shouldn't have been talking to Jesus because he was a Jew. Secondly, she shouldn't have been there at the time that she was at because she already broke one barrier. Now she was a woman and shouldn't be talking to Jesus who was a Jew. And there was a relationship barrier. She walked through that. And what about the man that was born blind? Who sinned? His parents or him? They walked through that barrier called sickness. Or the barrier called the storms on the Galilee. Jesus walked right on the water. Let me introduce you today. I want to try to help us understand that there is nothing impossible with God. Do you believe that? I want you to start getting this morning, that there is absolutely nothing impossible with God. Now, I had in the first service this morning a doctor of veterinary medicine, sitting on the front row. I didn't know that he was going to sit there. He very rarely sits there. He usually sits on the left side, about eight rows back, six seats in. I know exactly where he sits. I know exactly where you sit, too. But I said, "Doctor, let me ask you a question. Can cows give birth to dogs?" He said, "No, that can't happen." I said, "Are you sure that they haven't figured that out, how a cow can give birth to a dog?" He said, "Won't happen." I said, "Can birds hatch fish?" He said, "It's not going to happen." I said, "So you mean that if I bought my granddaughter a puppy, and in a year from now it got pregnant, it wouldn't have kittens?" He said, "No, that's not going to happen." He said, "Because like begets like." So I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful. So if we understand John chapter 3, the Bible said that you must be born again. Now, you and I were born again, but we were born of the Spirit, which was God. Did you know that we were begotten by God? That you were born by the Spirit, capital S. Your spirit was birthed by God. Meaning, God can't be God and you be a fish. You follow what I'm saying? So that kind of gives me a feeling that if a cow has a baby, it's going to be a little cow, a calf. If a dog gets pregnant, it's going to have puppies. If a cat gives birth, it's going to have kittens. If God births a human soul, it's going to be a spirit. Is it going to be a different spirit than God's spirit? Ah, so now we're looking at our life as being like God. You follow me? So, if God is the only wise, true God, you cannot be the only dummy child. You follow what I'm saying? If God is the only wise God, I have to be the only wise son, because he birthed, I am after or like my father. You and I are born of the Spirit. Now let me just break this down a little bit more and help us understand today that your connection determines your realm of operation. See, for years, I never understood why I was raised in such a negative environment. It was always negative. It was always half full. It was always somebody out to get me. It was always somebody didn't like me. Somebody's going to reject me. It was always something I didn't do well enough. Negative thoughts. I knew after a while that those came from the enemy, because that doesn't come from God. So that is a realm that I had submitted to, that I would call the world's operation. The world is evil or negative. Here I'm now born again, born from the Father. And because I have not assumed my rightful position in God, I became subject to the dominance of the world's ways. And I realize now, every time I'm allowed myself to think negative, talk negative, or allow negativity to affect me, I have left my place in God. Because in God's kingdom, it's always positive. If God be for you, who can be against you? See, evil is negative, and our covenant is always positive. Now look at Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Let's read it together. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, can you leave that on the screens for me, please? We have been taught in church that Jesus hung on a cross, died, was buried, on the third day raised from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. We believe that with all of our heart. But here's what we also believe. When he ascended, he left us down here on the earth. Now, positionally, that's not the case. Experientially, it might be the case. In other words, we are here on the earth. But understand what the scripture said in Ephesians 2 and 6. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the upward call in Christ Jesus. See, the world would have you think that just make forward progress, just make some progress in your life. God didn't call us to go forward. He didn't call us to go sideways. He didn't call us to go downward or even backward. He called us to go upward. There is an upward call upon the church. The moment you were born again, your rightful place is to be seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Think about this with me. In other words, God immediately enthroned you, sat you down on the throne that Jesus sits on, meaning you have all authority that had been granted to Christ has been now invested in you and me. So that makes me want to live my life a whole lot differently. But what the enemy wants to do is to keep us thinking that we don't belong there, or he wants us to fall from grace. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul was talking about it in the book of Galatians, and he was referring to when you keep the law, you fall from grace. Not that you would, you no longer would be loved by Christ, or that God would never continue to love you and to forgive you of your sin. That's not what we're talking about, falling from grace. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, oh, that preacher fell from grace. You can't fall from grace unless you try to keep the law. But watch this. Satan in Isaiah 14, what does the Bible say about him? O Lucifer, how thou art fallen from heaven. Now I want you to think about that just for a minute. Because the devil fell from heaven. What does essentially that mean? Essentially, that means he left his position of authority. He fell away from his position of authority into the earth. And the earth now became his domain. The reason why he fell from his position, and just stay with me, I know I'm giving you a lot of background on this, but you have to understand this part for me to finish. Okay? All right. So Satan fell from his position ordained by God, and he understands that when you were born again, you were elevated to that position. Well, he doesn't want you in the position of authority from where he fell. So he's going to do everything he can to pull you from where your rightful place is to come under the dominion of his authority. And he does that through pride. He does that through our taking control of our own life, having it our own way, and that we become negative. He will infuse our thinking with all kinds of worldly thoughts and thoughts that are destructive. God said, look, I forgive you. And Satan will say, no, he can't forgive that. That's way too much. You expect God to forgive that? You are crazy. And you're like, well, God's never going to forgive that. Or your reason why you're going through all this trouble is because you've been sowing evil. Because you sowed evil, God's now allowing you to reap the consequences. You're going to reap this, and God's going to punish you because he wants to get even with you. And he'll begin to lie to us, so we will begin to operate in those lies. And what happens? We fall from grace. We fall from the position of our authority that we are to rule and reign in with Christ. You and I are here to establish the kingdom of God. And we have to know that the enemy is doing everything he can to bring us out of that position of authority. But I've got to tell you, I have a feeling in my heart that there are believers that have had enough of the devil's lies. And we have begun to see the truth and realize that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Come on, look over at somebody and give them a high five and say, I know that's right. Come on, I know that's right. See, let me just tell you something. The devil did not create anything. Some people say, well, he created evil. No, he didn't create evil. He had no authority to create anything. Here's what happened. The enemy reversed good, and evil emerged. The enemy took truth and twisted it, and lies appeared. The enemy took love and reverted it, and hatred manifested. He was able to take kingdom principles, twist them, revert them, reverse them, and manifest evil. Do you follow what I'm saying? So if that's the case, I must train my thinking. I must train my thinking to approach every challenge in my life with a victory thought. With a victory thought. You almost got to wake up in the morning with a little sass. You almost have to get up in the morning and know that God is for you. As a matter of fact, I'll just let you know what I felt like this morning. When I got up and put my clothes on and got ready to come to church, I felt like the whole angelic beings in heaven were having a march down heaven way, playing musical instruments, doing backflips, and shouting and saying, look at that boy go. That's kind of how I was feeling this morning. I felt like, man. And then God himself saw all the commotion, looked over that sapphire seal of heaven, and saw me and went, woo-wee, I like that boy. I like that boy. You see, I realize something, that I have to train my brain to approach every challenge with a victory thought. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. This is in the Amplified Bible. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they say? You are what you eat. And if that's true, you are what you think. There has to come a separation between the positive and the negative in your life. You do not deserve to be punished. You are not inferior. You are not a bad person. And that's why these things happen to you. See, religion is dangerous. It will create a web so to entangle your life and keep you under the domination of this world's way. And it's difficult to rise up above it. See, we have a lot of Christians today who are diligent. They're very diligent. They're constant in their effort. They come to church all the time. They read their Bible when they can. They give in the offering when they've got some extra cash. I mean, they're diligent. But diligence isn't far enough. From diligence to vigilance. To become vigilant means this: to be watchful to avoid danger. You know what I have to be watchful over the most? Is negative thinking. And often it doesn't come from me. It comes from other people who like to tell me about me. And I don't know how they know me better than me. But they want to come in and tell me about me and how I ought to be because they know me better than me. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have anybody tell you that? And all of a sudden, you've got these negative influences. And then you've got these religious influences that begin to tell you the reason why you're going through this trouble is because you didn't go to church Sunday. Now I'm going to tell you, I was watching Benny Hinn. I'm not going to tell you a Christian preacher. I was watching Benny Hinn, and some preacher was on there, and he put up his finger and he said, "I want to tell you, Pastor Benny, there are people that are going to go to hell in the last day because they're not going to church." And I was sitting there listening to that, and I said, "Tina, you got to hear this." And then he quoted this scripture out of Hebrews: "Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves is a matter of some in the last days." Or, in other words, he used that scripture to say that if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not saved. Now, there'll be some poor Christian out there that'll listen to that and go, "Oh my gosh, I missed church last week." Let me tell you something. This is not Roman Catholicism. It is a religion that tries to tell you that it is a mortal sin if you don't go to church on Sunday, or it's a mortal sin not to receive the sacraments, or it's a mortal sin because you didn't go to confession, or it's a mortal sin, and if you don't do these things, then you're not going to measure up in the kingdom of God and God can't use you. Let me tell you where that comes from. That comes from the system of this world to keep you bound under its ways so that you will leave your rightful place of authority in the kingdom of God and lose that authority so that you could fulfill the negative, evil thought of the enemy. They'll use religion. They'll use rejection. Now, let me just help you with rejection. Has anyone in here besides me ever been rejected? Can I see your hand? Look at all you folk. All right. We're going to change the name of this church. Reject Church. A bunch of rejects in here, right? Come to our church. What's the name of it? Reject Church. I can tell you a story about my rejection. And if I told it to a dog, about a cat, make him cry too. Let me tell you something. Get over it. There was a day that I was rejected. There was a day when I was slandered. There was a day when I was abused. There was a day that I was lied on, cheated on. You name it. There was a day. But there one day came where my Father in heaven birthed me. Come on. I was born again. And because I was born again, I now have the same spirit, DNA of my Father. So you may still reject me, but let me tell you, God has accepted me. You may not love me, but let me tell you, God loves me. You say, well, I don't know. I just don't agree with you. It doesn't matter what you don't agree with. Because I have learned not to relegate my life based on the approval ratings of people. You need to really make a decision today to say, I refuse to listen to the negativity of those around me. You've got to make that decision this morning, this afternoon. You've got to make that choice. Why? Because if you're not only diligent and you're not watchful to avoid danger, you'll file in and out of church, sing in a choir for a while, serve in the church for a while, until somebody gets in your business. You know, we really never wanted you here in the first place. I don't know what you think you are. I don't know who you think you are, but, you know, we really didn't want you here, and we don't really like your kind here, and this was my ministry. See, you've got to be vigilant to avoid danger, watchful to avoid danger. When those things happen, you need to realize, wait a minute, that's coming from the evil one. That has got its source in the devil, who's trying to pull me from my rightful place to believe you. To believe you. See, a lot of times what they'll do is we have to up the ante, so I'm going to make him a preacher. The preacher said it. No. I'm going to give him a PhD. No, I'm going to give them credibility because they said that. It must be true. And as a result, the church has lived in inferiority, inferior status, year after year. And you know the problem? We're not getting the king's business done. We're not getting the king's business done. There are a lot of people that are sincere, which means genuine. I find a lot of people that are genuinely born again. I used to go to the prisons every Sunday night for 2 years when I was in Bible college. I visited people in the prisons. They knew more about the Bible than I did. They were preaching to me. Only one thing was wrong. I was on the outside. With all your Bible knowledge, you were on the inside. You might be sincere, but you're not sensitive. Capable of perceiving the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, to tell you what the truth is about the situation that you're facing. See, ladies and gentlemen, I can only tell you that God wants to so use your life. He wants to release you into such great manifestations of the kingdom. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're facing today. Realize this. God has a great plan for your life. Look at Romans chapter 15. What a great verse. And verse 13 in the Amplified Version. May the God of your hope. You know what hope is? The expectation of good. I got up this morning thinking, I have great expectations. Something good's going to happen to me today. God wants to get a blessing into my pocket somehow. And I'm going to help him. I'm going to walk around like this. Come on, Jesus. That's expectation of good. Watch. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace. See, on the way here, I could have broke down in the car. I could have had to pull over and change a flat tire. But at that moment, I need to have great hope and know that this was God's way of getting a blessing into my life, that I have expectation of good in all things. So it doesn't matter what's taking place right now. I don't evaluate my blessing or my life based on my circumstances. God can use the circumstances to get to me what He's promised me when I don't even expect that that was going to work out. But watch, with all joy and peace and believing, through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may what? Abound and be what? Overflowing and what? Bubbling over with what? Hope. You can't have hope when you're negative. Negativity does not breed hope. And Paul's writing and saying, wait a minute. You need to have so much hope, you got hope running off of you. You got hope overflowing you. You've got hope bubbling up inside of you. See, I can't go to the doctor and face him without hope. How can I go into the doctor? And they come in and they say, well, here's your tests. This is what you got. I can't go in there with that. I got to go in there with hope. The expectation of good, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I premeditated the fact that I woke up this morning, I'm going to need some hope. I can't go to the lawyer without hope. I can't face hostility without hope. I can't face sickness without hope that I'm going to see my health stronger, more vibrant. I'm going to live till I'm 120 years of age. I'm not going to be as sick another day in my life. I got to have hope. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You can't get nobody else to talk to you. That's what David did. Look at Psalm 42. See, let me just explain something to you. There are times when we think, because you're born again, you got a new brain. You know, I've been seeing this. This is kind of funny. And I guess God can do it. You know, I mean, if Slim Fast works, I guess the kingdom of God can work too like that. Somebody said, come to Jesus. There's a lose weight anointing right now in this room. I want you to come forward. And God just told me He's going to shed 100 pounds off of the first 5 people that make their way up here. I'm coming. Okay. All right. That's a good one. Oh, wait a minute. There's a facelift anointing up here right now. You come to Jesus, it'll take 15 years right off the top. Let's go. I hate to tell you that when you came to Jesus, your spirit got born again, but you went back with your same old body. Now, some people say that He took all the wrinkles out when I went up there, but I ain't seen that to be true. Your body was the same when you turned around that it was when you came up here. Your mind was the same when you came up here. Your emotions were the same when you came up here. Your spirit was made new, right? So sometime you have to talk to your soul, because your soul's not lining up to your spiritual platform. So David said this, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Come on, read it. Hope in God. Say it again.
Hope in God.
One more time. Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. You cannot allow yourself to walk in despair thinking that you deserve the trouble you're going through. Look, when I was born again, I know that God, the only wise and true God, birthed me. But a split second before He birthed me, I was the only dummy child of the world. I had made some stupid mistakes in my life. And you know what? I even made some bad choices after I'd been born again. But I realized this, that those choices don't define me. My spiritual heritage defines me. Are you following me? And so we have to encourage people today that we don't serve a God of defeat. Can I announce, I don't serve a God of defeat or pessimism. I don't serve a God of being disillusioned. I don't serve a God of hatred or bitterness. Matter of fact, I realize something. Any emotion of hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, prejudice, all that is from this evil world. And if I'm beginning to operate in it or think about it, I have to recognize with sensitivity that I have just fallen from my rightful place. I cannot afford to operate on that level because on that level I'm dominated. But when I'm on the seated with Christ in heavenly places, I am in domination. I am in authority over everything that is trying to oppose me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Are you ready? You hanging in there? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Read the last part. But we have what? Okay, one more time. But we have... No, we don't. Do we? Do we? Yeah, we do. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. No, we don't. Okay, watch. We have the mind of Christ. You know, that kind of blows my mind. You know why it blows my mind? Because John chapter 1, verse 3. If you could put that scripture up, John chapter 1, verse 3, tells me all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. You follow that? Let me say it one more time. I have the mind of Christ. All things came into being through him, being Christ. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So if I understand that, I can surmise this. The mind I now have is the same one that created the world I live in. So what in this world can defeat me? If I have the mind of the one that created this world, and I live in this world, what in this world can defeat me, overpower me, manipulate me, or keep me in subjection? Nothing. I realize now that as long as I stay in the positive, you say, oh, Pastor, you're just a positive thinking preacher. You got that right. There ain't no negativity here. And if I do get negativity, I give you permission to slap me. Not hard, though. But understand, you and I are peculiar beings. Look over to the person next to you and said, I thought you looked peculiar this morning. You did not. Did you say that? I was kidding. If 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 says we're peculiar beings, then we should not be afraid to think exceptional thoughts. Exceptional thoughts. Well, nobody's ever owned a home in my family, but I just want to make this announcement this Thanksgiving. This time next year, you'll be looking at the first homeowner in our family. I'm about to own my own home. You say, well, that's pretty cool. Nobody in my family's ever owned a business. Well, I'm just here to tell you today that I'm going to own my own business. No, not one business. I'm going to own multiple businesses. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Matter of fact, I'm going to be a philanthropist. I'm going to be a person who's very wealthy and sought after by major corporations of America. Now, when you start talking like that, you know what your friends are going to say? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And you've got to respond to them the same way John the Baptist said. They said, who are you? And he said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice crying out in a wilderness. I am a voice in this world of which I'm in, but I'm not of, speaking from the authority of Christ seated in heavenly places, decreeing and declaring how the kingdom of God has come to visit this generation. That's who I am. But until you get convinced of that, you'll walk around all mealy mouth, won't have a backbone, tossed to and fro by every little situation. Somebody can, they hurt my feelings, so we're going to go to another church. Well, it's all right, go to another church. You won't be there long either. Because I haven't found a church where somebody's not going to hurt your feelings. I mean, when y'all first came here 5 years ago, y'all loved me. There's some people who don't love me no more. They left already. It's all right. I'm bigger than the lack of your love. I know God loves me. I'm not going to determine my worth based on your estimation. You have to understand this morning that God has a plan for you. If nobody else agrees with it, what does that have to do with anything that God said? But they said all this about me. So what they said? Who are they? They're just dummy children. And you have the only wise God that birthed you. Why are you listening to what they have to say? I don't know. I can always listen to what they say. Well, stop it. Stop it. Did you know that old things passed away and all things became new when you got born again? That means you got a new perspective on life. That means you have a new mentality on life. That means you have a new future ahead of you. And I don't know what it is about church, but we somehow get in this groove of the same old, like nothing's ever going to change. And we walk around agreeing with it. Oh, it's always going to be like this. Well, no, it's not. It's going to change because God has a plan for your life and His blessings are coming to you. God wants to bless you. See, you and I need to go for knowledge. And we'll begin walking in wisdom. We need to suck up the knowledge of God. Suck up the knowledge of God, man. Just suck it up. And then let wisdom be released in your life. So I know how to make the right choices, right decisions. Who's right for me? Who's not right for me? I had to wake up this morning and realize not everybody's going to be for me. Not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to think I'm good. Not everybody wants to help me. But it's all right. Because what help I do need, I'll receive. The help I will have to have in the future, God will see to it that it shows up. Because He's for me and not against me. You can make accusations, you can make threats, but it doesn't matter anymore. Because I realize only what God has declared over me is going to come to pass. Because they have no authority over me in my life. But what I give them, and I've just made a choice. I'm not giving it to them anymore. You got to take back your authority. Why you give mom and them authority? Why you give all the ex-boyfriends and ex-husbands and all these, why you giving them authority? Take it back. Amen? And realize they have no authority over you. When you fall from that position of righteousness, you fall into darkness. Man, we don't want to fall back into darkness. No way. Learn to recognize the negative as being associated with the enemy's realm. I got to focus upward. I got to focus upward. You say, how far up? Well, let me show you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. How far up? Well, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Continue, please. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. You know, sometimes the devil likes to deliver to you a scroll. Hearie, this is what Lewis has done. Lewis did this and Lewis did that. He doesn't deserve to be a pastor. He's a crummy father. He's a no good husband. He's a cheater, a liar, and a manipulator. I mean, he could write anything he wants on that. The problem is he delivers it to your door every morning like the newspaper. We sit there and read it and go, oh, man, I don't know what to do. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. And we just lament. You know, and then flip it over on the other side and, oh, yeah, that pastor, all he cares about is money. That pastor, he's just this, this, that. He doesn't really care. Said he loves, but he doesn't love. He never even told me in the hospital. I was sick, didn't even come. And forget him. He's not, he don't like black people, and he don't like any kind of people. He's just a selfish man. I'm like, God, they're saying that, all this stuff about me. He said, where does that belong? I said, on my scroll. He goes, no. Where's it belong? Right there. That's where it belongs. It belongs under my feet. Is that what it said? Flip back to 22. Can you go backwards? Yeah. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. I have authority over those things. And I realize now that every one of these indictments from every one of the sources can be also saved. So I can realize that these people who have been mean or hurtful or abandoned me or rejected me, I can pray for them so that they can come to the same level of life that God has graced me to come. I wouldn't want them to continue to stay down here in the domain of the devil. I want them to come up here where the authority of Jesus Christ is manifest. I want them to enjoy life like me. And so we pray for them that persecute us and despitefully use us for His name's sake, because we know then shall our reward be great in heaven. Right? I want to decree and declare over you today that you are barrier breakers. I'm decreeing and declaring this by the Spirit of the Lord, that there will be no time frame that will hold you back or hold you down from this point on. It is something you don't even consider anymore, because you're like a Syrophoenician woman who believes that God is merciful even to the dogs around a table. You know that God will step out of time to minister to you. No relationship, no sickness, no lack, no one thing will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare over this congregation tonight that we are going to go into a new level of authority, that we are going to walk in the power of God like we have never witnessed before. I decree and declare now that marriages will turn around overnight, because we'll begin to reconsider the Word of God and begin to align ourselves with the Word of God, and no longer our feelings and no longer about our past, but we will embrace the eternal Word of Christ. We will stay current. We will renew our mind. We will have constant encounters with the knowledge of God's Word. We realize today we have the mind of Christ, and that we could do all things in Christ, and that there is another level for us to walk in, and we're not satisfied with yesterday's manna. And Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that there are people in this room who are so hungry, they hear this kind of message, and they want to just yell out of their skin. Because they know that's what they've been spoken to by the Holy Spirit themselves. That you have a great plan for their life. This morning, if you sense the Holy Spirit just kind of swirling around inside you and just giving you that affirmation of what I've been talking about, and you know that God has got a new level for you, I just want you to stand up right now in the name of Jesus all over this place. Come on. Stand up. Everybody probably ought to stand up, I guess. And just let's believe God that there is another realm, another world that you are going to be engaging, saying goodbye to old things, hallelujah, and saying hello to new things, hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, tell the people you can't put new wine in old wineskins. So I'm speaking that over you. Don't put the new wine in old wineskins. What does that mean? I don't care how you interpret it. This is how I interpret it right now. This is what the Spirit of the Lord told me. He said this. You can't put this new truth of seated with Christ in heavenly places and walking in His authority and commanding the kingdom in this earth with the old wineskin of your past experience and the evaluation of other people in your life. You got to get rid of that and get rid of it this morning. You got to shake it off, man. You got to get it off. You got to say, look, I'm sorry. I'm done. It's over. I'm not dealing with it no more. It is behind me. And I walk in fully into what God has for me. So are you ready to do that this morning? I believe that. I'm feeling that. I sense that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If I could, I'd get out there and lay hands on every one of you. I feel like there's an impartation in this room this morning. I feel like God wants to pull some of us. Some of us are going to have to be pulled out. Some of us like Lot. We're not ready to go yet. But I'm like the angel of the Lord. You going? And you're like, well, do we have to? Yeah. If I could, I'd go out there and grab you by the wrap of the neck and I'd shake you up. Say, you're coming. Why? Because this region needs a kingdom-minded people. Come on, church. It needs a kingdom-minded people. We're not operating on that level yet. There are too many people dying and going to hell. Too many children on the street. Come on. There should be money flowing in the house of God. Be like Megan. We need to give some money so we can buy a projector. Those days have got to get behind us. Can somebody please serve in the church? Forget all that. We need to go into another level of authority. And we walk in this thing. We don't look for people to say, would you like to make a hospital visit? You call up and say, is anybody sick? We're going to go lay hands on them and watch God heal them right there. Amen. We're looking for somebody depressed, looking for somebody rejected, looking for somebody that's broken and wounded. We'd be like that good Samaritan walking around with a wine bottle on our hip, ready to pour in the oil and the wine. We're looking to heal. We're looking to restore. We're looking to renew. We're looking to add to somebody's life. It's time for us. It's time, church. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? I feel it. I sense it. It's time. Come on, just lift up your hands in the house. Father, you know the hearts of your children. And God, I thank you now that this new wine, Lord, needs to go into a new wineskin. So I break off the old. I break off the negative. I break off, God, the rigid. Those hard places, the hard-heartedness. I come against, oh God, thoughts of inferiority and inadequacy. I come against them, God, and I command them to leave. Now pray, God, that you would invite them in. Let them see themselves raised up with Christ. Let them see themselves seated in heavenly places. Let them see themselves in a positive kingdom. where your rule is being established and where angels await the bidding of your church. Thank you, Lord. Father, let signs and wonders follow the preaching of your word this morning. God, I pray for healing power to be released in this room right now. I pray, God, for long-standing negativity to be broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, let it be broken now. You say, Pastor, I'm constantly haunted with what I should have done, what I could have done. I'm constantly dealing with that. The enemy's bombarding my mind about my works, my efforts, and they weren't enough, and that's why I'm being punished. Man, if that's you this morning, I just say you're free. Darling, you're free. That's ridiculous. That's the devil. You say, that's me, Pastor. You don't know. Well, here, listen. You come up for prayer right now. If you feel like you've been battling these negative thoughts all your life and somebody telling you you're not good enough and that you'll never make it and that you'll never get established, that you can't do what your dreams have told you you can do, would you please let me just pray with you real quick? Come on out from where you're standing and get along the front of this room. In the name of Jesus, we come against that thing, right? We come against it. God bless you. Come on, anybody else? Come on. This is your moment. This is your moment. Come on, this is your moment. Come on, there's plenty of room.
As it is in heaven, let it be in me.
Pastor Tossie, help us.
I'ma shake the old off because I am free.
Let's lay hands on them.
As it is in heaven, let it be in me.
Come on, there's plenty of room. Put it on the line.
I'ma shake the old off because I am free. As it is in heaven, let it be in me.
Come on, come on.
I'ma shake the old off. Because I am free. As it is in heaven, let it be in me. I'ma shake the old off. Because I am free. As it is in heaven, let it be in me.
Said, all right, here's the next wave. The next wave is you have been having some exceptional, extraordinary thoughts about your future, and your dreams are so big and so wild that you know that if God doesn't do it, it'll never happen. But you're believing today, and you're going to step out in faith. All right, I don't know how much room we got, but I need you up here because you are a catalyst to a major move of God in the region, and we need to lay hands on you and agree with you. Come on, altar ministers, you help us. Come on, make room here, everybody. Let's go. Let's do it. This is a big moment for God. Come on. There's room on the platform. Come on up here. You can bring them up here, Mike.
I'm a very afraid.
We got room up here. Come on up on the platform. There's room up here.
I'm a barrier breaker. I'm a barrier breaker. Oh, yeah. I'm a barrier breaker.
Come on, there's room.
In high places.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We need to release you into the biggest dream ever to be made manifest in this region. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I feel. We release you. Come on up here. Get up on the platform. We'll pray for you. This is a no-nonsense moment in God where we are stepping out of and into. You got that, right? Now let's just worship Him and we'll pray. Come on. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for great dreams. I thank you for great vision. I thank you, God, that you are doing mighty works. We release them now. Father God, the big dream, the big vision, the things that they have seen, that you've shown them. Let them do it, God. Let them do it, God. Let them do it, God. Let it come, Father. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. We release them now, Lord. God, great prophetic things, great mighty spiritual things. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a strategic moment. This is a strategic shifting that the kingdom of God is being manifested in their life right now. For this time, you are a barrier breaker. You will walk through every break, every barrier. In the name of Jesus. Help me pray, Jim. Come on, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a great moment in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that this is a visionary moment. This is a dream come true moment. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't you let the devil lie to you. Don't you listen to anybody else. This is a dream come true moment. In the name of Jesus, it's a moment of dreams coming to pass. This is a moment of dreams coming to pass. Dreams coming to pass. Dreams coming to pass. In the name of Jesus, dreams coming to pass. Yes, it will. It'll manifest even this morning. I'm going to come over this way. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Say not, it never will. Say it will. Come on, line up your mouth with the will of God. But it will, it will, it will, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We say it will. We say it will. You're a dream maker, not a dream breaker.
Dream again.
Believe again.
Higher.
You are a dream. Every negative thought, I command them to be broken off now in the name of Jesus. I say you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And you now operate in the full authority of Christ our Lord, seated with him in heavenly places. I bless this man of God now, and I release him into his future. Let his dreams be big. Let his hope, oh God, be overabounding and overflowing. And let there be, oh God, a residence of your glory in his life now in Jesus' name. Ascended moment, and he's coming now to bring you into that place.